Hello, everyone, and welcome to WIF, the podcast from Greens Farms Church. Today we are with Richard Williams of Pivot Ministries, and I am honored to say that this is Richard's very first podcast. He just told me before we went on the air, and so I'm excited, and I have a feeling that this podcast will lead to many more podcasts for Richard and getting the word out about Pivot Ministries. First and foremost, Richard, thanks for being with us today and welcome
to WIF. Glad to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Absolutely. Our pleasure, our honor to have you with us today. If you are familiar with Pivot Ministries, if you have been at Greens Farms Church or any of the churches in the surrounding areas and heard their men's choir sing or have been a part of supporting their ministries, you know this powerful work. You know what God has done in the midst of this work of recovery and reclaiming lives from addiction. And one of the things that you may not know is Richard's story. I've had a chance to meet Richard on a number of occasions, and we've had a chance to talk, but I don't know that I've heard Richard's story and how he made it to Pivot Ministry. So first and foremost, Richard, let me have you introduce yourself again and tell our listeners a little bit about you, how you came to be at Pivot, and the powerful place that Pivot has had in your life.
I'd be happy to do that. It's a real amazing before and after story in terms of my journey at Pivot. So currently I'm the pastor and the executive director of Pivot Ministries. In 2007, I was a student at Pivot Ministries, originally from Annapolis, Maryland. Great family, just great living. My reference of what love is my family, close-knit. But there were some circumstances and just things on the outside of that comfort zone that was challenging to me, particularly, not being the richest person on the block, not having things. And I often heard that my family wasn't much, nor was I. So that kind of sent me into a spiral of just lack of self-worth and all. But my family was there for me all the time. They worked hard to send me off to college. I was one of the first of the family to complete a secondary education. But this mission to be something was very, sort of a double-edged sword. While I wanted to be something, it was all to prove people wrong. So it was more of a vengeance thing. And that morphed into ego and attitude and greed. And before you know it, I was in a space of just total loss. Drugs came into the play. So this is in 2007. For 23 years, I was just out there in a dark space using drugs, abusing drugs. My major was teaching. I was a special ed teacher for like 4 or 5 years. Even in that space, after I came out of the classroom, I started using drugs, and it got bad. So an outreach center sent me to the cold state of Connecticut. When they first told me I was going to Connecticut to get some help, I was like, it's too cold in Connecticut. I said, okay, well, you can stay here in Annapolis. I said, no, I'll go, because I was really at the end of my rope. So I came to Pivot in 2007, and it was my first program, and I never turned back. That was a space that created an environment, an atmosphere of compassion and love that reminded me of my family. It was a different kind of community. The community I was used to back home was judgmental. You had to have a certain way of life to be accepted, but Pivot just took me in. Pastor David Smith was the executive director at the time, but it was in that place the whole spiritual journey took place. God's word came alive at Pivot Ministries. I remember I was there about 2 or 3 weeks. We were studying the story of Joseph. You know, it's funny, growing up in a Christian home, I never read the Bible. I'd go to church all the time, but never read the Bible. When I came to Pivot, had you asked me what the four Gospels were, I wouldn't have known. I would not have known that. So reading the Bible was a challenge. It was just total Greek. But because of Pivot's structure, you're required to read it. So I was really operating out of obedience.
Mm.
But I remember that day, we were in the classroom, and something just hit me while we were reading the story of Joseph. The word came alive in me, and I just started bawling, just uncontrollably. This guy's looking around, who is this crazy guy? But I knew something was happening inside of me, and it was at that point. God's word was alive in me, and now I'm doing a podcast.
Wow, that's right. That's right.
Right?
Well, and that Joseph story is such a universal story of bondage. Absolutely. And captivity and freedom and release. And so you can imagine that journey. I'm sure all the listeners, your story is so personal, and thank you for sharing it. But it's also a story that I'm sure is shared by many people that are in our world.
Absolutely.
that frustration or judgment leads to certainly first use and then abuse, mm-hmm, of substances that aren't helpful for,
yeah,
body, mind, or spirit. You though are an interesting story and a great testimony about the work of Pivot House, because I'm sure a lot of folks go to ministries like this and are experience a great release and freedom, but not everybody that goes into a ministry like this ends up becoming the pastor and executive director of said ministry. So tell us,
yeah,
you know, 2007, you're listening to this, we're talking, it's, yeah, the end of 2019. Tell us a little bit about why Pivot is that special place and what's,
yeah,
you know, kept you there. I mean, obviously it's the Spirit of God on,
yeah,
on many levels, but,
yeah,
but what is it about Pivot, yeah, and the process of Pivot, yeah, that works for so many?
And you just answered the question. It's special because the Spirit of the living God abides there. That's what drew me in. That's what started me on my journey. You know, as I was coming through Pivot, my plan was to simply complete the program, go back to Maryland, and teach. But I started to learn a lot of principles, one of which being obedience. So even reading the Bible, as I mentioned earlier, I was just reading the Bible out of obedience, and God moved in a mighty way. He moved in, he honored that obedience. You know, so this whole space of creating this community where God can come in and transform hearts. Pastor Dave, who was the executive director, he used to tell me as a student, one day you're going to run this ministry.
Mm.
There was something he saw, something I didn't see. Again, you know, remember that past of you're not this, you're not that, you'll never be this, you'll never be that. So these were foreign words from a stranger that you're going to run this ministry. But God began to open doors. And after I graduated, I think I held about 5 different positions at Pivot, from staff to program director, assistant program director, director, and then executive director.
That's great.
But again, I'd come to a point where I learned to hear the voice of God, and it wasn't audible. It's this thing inside that I can feel. And oftentimes, Pastor Dave would come and encourage me and invite me to journey into a certain direction. And I would, of course, be hesitant. I'd pray on it. And then when I would get that little sense of God calling me, I would just go head first.
Right.
And,
right,
of course, blessings would be released. But it's been 12 years at Pivot. And God hasn't chosen to move me on. But I'm fueled by the presence of the Spirit. I'm fueled by the miraculous miracles that happen there every day. I'm in the best seat. I get to see God move in the lives of the men every day.
And thank you for sharing those miracles with us. I know you've been a part of Greens Farms Church for a while, bringing the men's choir here to sing and be a part of our worship service for a while. I know that just last year our confirmation class, mm-hmm, came down to be with the guys and serve dinner and hear some testimonies and talk to some of the folks. What's so special about the relationship that Pivot has with the local churches and partnering with the churches, and how has that been a blessing to you guys? And
yeah, so one of the tenets that Pivot operate on is creating community. And you know, the old church, you know, in Paul's days was a community. You know, I just love that vision that's explained in Acts about how the people would gather and no one's belonging was their own, and no one lacked for anything.
Mm.
So church being that type of community, it's important that, you know, we connect. Pivot wouldn't have existed this long if it had not been for local churches such as Green's Farms to support us and trust and believe in God to do a good work at Pivot. It's also a good opportunity for men to explore various cultures of worship. Mm. That's one of the things that is amazing. You know, we go from the small church in Bridgeport on the corner to the great cathedrals, you know, and they get to experience a wide spectrum of worship.
Right.
And some of them speak, and they get to they get a sense. But again, support is a real big piece of that. You know, churches are mission-minded, particularly Green's Farms. Mm-hmm. You guys are a missional church, so you look beyond your walls on how you can help, and you've been a great support to Pivot.
Well, it's a joy and an honor to support the work because we know what a good work it is. And to your point of community and discipleship, those are two words that are very important for us, you know, here as well, because it's when you're in community, you've got family around you, right, supporting you, helping to keep you accountable. It's easy to fall into those habits when you're alone, when you're not with anybody. But when you've got a guy kind of tapping you on the shoulder saying, hey, how'd you do today? How was your day today? You've got that built-in sense of community and accountability. And then obviously I know the Pivot program is rooted in strong discipleship, as you mentioned, Bible study. And I love the fact that you're not just the executive director of a nonprofit organization, but even before that you said your title was pastor.
Yeah.
You're the pastor.
I'm the pastor.
Of these guys. I mean, that just says, you know, the phrase, it's all semantics or it's just semantics, could not mean less here because that's maybe the most important role.
Yeah.
You are the pastor of these guys. It's a church.
Yeah.
It's not a church building. It's not a sanctuary and an organ and a youth room, but it's a church.
It's a church.
Because
that's
as you said, that early church was nothing more than people meeting together, sharing their belongings. No one was in need because no one claimed anything from their own. I love that verse in Acts 2 and Acts 4.
That's
that's what community is.
That's what Pivot models. Yeah, absolutely. So, that's
great.
It, yeah.
So going forward, as you think about the future of Pivot, you've been here since 2007. You've let us know that Pivot is on the cusp of their Jubilee year.
Yes.
49 years of Pivot ministry, getting ready to walk into that 50th year, that Jubilee year. How going forward can not only the churches around our area, but individuals around our area, everyone that has benefited from the work that Pivot does, what are some of the ways that we can help support you going forward? I know you're getting ready to celebrate your Lives Renewed Gala coming up. I know you've got Pave the Way bricks available for sponsorship as well. What are the ways that we can support you, especially in the midst of as we all know, the donor fatigue that's going on? You know, people have been giving and giving, and we can see the trending line going down. But tell us a little bit about how the folks who are listening can support Pivot Ministries.
So you mentioned a couple of items, the Pave the Way, there's a gala coming up, donations. You know, one of the realities of this ministry, even though it's nonprofit, is finances. You know, Pivot, we have a community of 54 men. The average size of the we can house 54 men. The average size of the community is 40 to 45 every day. We operate Pivot, classwork, pay, utilities, travel, everything for $1,900 a day. There's some great programs out there who do a great work, and they charge for one person $1,000 a day. Pivot, on the other hand, can run an entire ministry that houses up to 40 men for 19.
Wow.
So it's a real fish and loaves ministry. God takes
good return on investment right there.
He multiplies it. So finances is important. It keeps the doors open.
Yep.
It pays the staff. It helps us to do the things that God has called us to do. So in terms of support, and a lot of our supporters like to see projects. They're important. You know, when we get a house to renovate it, or we want to buy a new van, there's something tangible. But the operating cost is a significant part of the need. So oftentimes, the donations will go just to keep the doors open. Mm. But in terms of just helping us in other ways, you know, we have a mentorship program, you know, to come up and take a guy out to lunch or take a guy out to dinner or to take him to the movies, take him to a ball game. We have a lot of speaking opportunities. We have 3 AA meetings a week at Pivot, 2 of which are speaker meetings, so to come up and join us in that space. You know, it means so much to the men when folk come inside, when they don't just sit in the pew and write the check. We need that, of course. Mm-hmm. But when they come on campus, it means so much. The third Thursday of every month, we have what we call the board dinner. So myself and my board members, we invite interested parties, people who would possibly be interested in coming alongside us. We invite them to dinner. We have one tonight, as a matter of fact.
Great.
Yeah, so that's always a really awesome place. God just shows up, and folk are really touched in ways that they never thought they would be touched before. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are a lot of volunteer opportunities to come on board with this as well.
Great. Well, listen, I want to thank you for the work that that you've been doing. Obviously since 2007. The work you've been doing, the work that you've been doing on yourself.
God has been doing a good work, huh? But I've been just cooperating with him for a change.
Well, yeah, well, and you know what's great, though? What has to happen, though? I always love using the illustration of that airline oxygen mask that comes down.
You
got to put it on yourself first.
That's right.
Before you can go and help others.
That's right.
And clearly that's work that you've done, and it is bearing fruit to this day. You've been able to help change lives of people that have been affected by the opioid epidemic. I'm sure that's something that you see.
That's not getting any better. We are in a national crisis. 68,000 overdose deaths in the United States last year. 60 men will OD in Bridgeport alone this year.
Wow.
That's 60 men in one community.
And my guess, that's one community, but that's, you know, there's no fences. That's across racial lines, financial lines, all sorts of lines.
Yeah, it's a mistake to think it's just in the inner cities.
Right.
But the suburbs, the rural area, it's a major crisis. And Pivot is that spiritual solution.
Yeah.
So we treat addiction as a spiritual problem.
Okay.
And our mission is to return the men to their families usefully whole. So Pivot just basically creates this space for God to come in and do a work. So just real quick, and I know we...
We're good.
But there's a scripture that really paints the picture of Pivot. And it's Mark chapter 8, verses 22 to 26. It's the story of the blind man that was healed in Bethsaida.
Yep.
So you go through and, you know, Jesus, some friends bring him to Jesus, and Jesus extends a hand and takes the man and walks outside of the village. And then he spits on his hands and he touches the man's eyes, and he partially sees, and then he repeats it, and the man sees clearly again. So many elements of that, and it's a great sermon. But there's a miracle that happened. But what's so striking about that when it comes to Pivot and that verse? God, Jesus' first response to the man is an act of love and compassion. The friends bring him in, and the first thing he does is reaches out and he takes his hand. Imagine this guy being blind and feeling the warmth of Jesus' hand, and then being led outside of the city to be alone with him. You know, miraculous things will happen in one's life when they're alone with God. So that's what happens at Pivot. You know, when a guy comes in, it's about pouring out the love of Jesus, compassion. And then he has time to be alone with God. And then God does his thing. And that, it's a progressive thing. Because the men have to be still and allow God to move and do what he does. But it's a parallel of that scripture and Pivot. Parallel, yeah.
And we are, just this Sunday, we are speaking on... a similar text, the text of the pool, where the crippled man is lying by the pool and he can't get to the pool, and the first thing Jesus asked this man, do you want to get well?
That's it, yeah.
Do you want to be healed? And then as soon as you want it,
that's right.
That's when pivot can take over. That's when the power of God can take over. That's when the miracle happens.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's when the miracle happens, when we say we want to get well. I've been looking for it in my notes. I can't put my hands on it, but I love the phrase or the slogan that you guys have. It's a three-section slogan.
Mm-hmm.
It's help me.
Enter to change.
Yes.
Remain to grow and depart to serve.
I think that is the perfect mission statement.
That's the, if I can use the term, theory of change.
Yes.
That happens at Pivot. You come into change, and if you stay and let God work, you will depart to serve. Absolutely.
You come in to get that oxygen mask on you.
Amen.
So that you can go out and help others.
Right.
I think you can use that. Whoa, you don't even need to give credit for it. You use that today at your board dinner. That's what I want you to do.
I gotta chill that time, Dave.
But that's what when Jesus says there is one commandment.
That's right.
Love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right. Pivot does both of those in a mighty and powerful way. Richard, I want to thank you for being with us today. It has been such
time,
a joy and honor.
You know, podcasts aren't that bad.
And I have to tell you,
I'm gonna
speak as a prophet right now and say, I think you're gonna do this again and again and again.
I'm looking forward to it.
And we will spread the good news of Pivot technologically over these airwaves and internet waves. And thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Dave.
You bet.